Well, the privatisation of ACC is a step closer. The government has made an in-principle decision to open up ACC workplace accident coverage to competition with private insurers. So, how will this affect insurance premiums and coverage for workers? The last time private insurance companies were in competition with ACC was a decade ago, also under a National-led government. The ACC Minister, Nick Smith, says the reform is needed to provide incentives for workplace safety, improve services for claimants and keep levies affordable. Well, shortly we'll speak to the head of the insurer Vero, Roger Bell, which was the biggest player in the workplace insurance market in the 1990s. But first I'm joined by Hazel Armstrong, a lawyer specialising in ACC cases. Good morning to you, Hazel.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you. So employers will be able to choose their own provider for workplace insurance. What do you believe this means for their employees?
For their employees? Well, the difficulty that employees faced a decade ago is going to be the same as that they face this time if it's privatised, which is that there's going to be more dispute about whether the claim happened at work or at home. There will be a delay in acceptance of claim and there will be less rehabilitation provided. So I was in practice in the 1998-99 period of time, and we still have got problems from that era working through the system now of denial of claim. So, for example, I've got a case that I've just handled where they simply just didn't issue a decision letter. So the person then had to fight for years to get a decision letter issued. So I think there'll be more litigation, and there's proof of that as well.
What the minister is saying is that it's not just businesses and employers who might try and get the best result for themselves out of this, that employees do the same thing and that might be part of the problem for ACC currently.
I'm not quite sure what you're angling at.
If the suggestion is that businesses might play hardball or perhaps be less than forthright with the truth, that the minister's point is that employees may well be doing that currently in some cases and that may be part of ACC's problem. In other words, why should everyone presume it's the employer who's going to be the bad guy?
I think what we've got to work out is why did New Zealand set up a 24/7 accident insurance scheme? The reason that we wanted to do it was so that people would get quick treatment, you know, timely treatment with no barriers and rehabilitation and return to work, which is good for New Zealand. And so the question you have to ask yourself is what scheme will deliver speedy treatment, maximum rehabilitation? And international comparisons show New Zealand does very well in this regard.
But what many will argue about the brief period of part privatisation of the late 90s, of competition, was that actually the accident rates went down and that there was faster return to work because the incentive is there to get the worker back as fast as possible.
Right. You'll find that people, from my perspective, would say the claim rate may have gone down because not so many claims were accepted. So, I mean, there'll be controversy as to why there are fewer claims. But on the rehabilitation and return to work, there's been a comparison done between New Zealand's rehabilitation and return to work and Australia, and our scheme does better than the private insurers. My own view is that the closer that the person is to the workplace, the more likely they are to be rehabilitated and returned to work. And the New Zealand evidence is employer involvement in rehabilitation and return to work is successful, but third-party administrators, whether third-party, an insurance company or a third-party administrator is involved, it's less successful.
The other issue is costs and premium costs, and the argument is that with competition, costs will come down. Do you have any evidence to the contrary?
Yes, we have evidence to the contrary. You only have to look at the evidence that the Stocktape obtained, and they found that in the short term, premiums will have to go up between 20% and 25%.
They're already going up all the time, aren't they? They've just had a huge hike.
Work-related and premiums are steady and are below the premiums paid by Australian insurers. So New Zealand's work scheme is very cost-effective and low premiums overall. What will happen with the a privatised scheme is that some people may benefit, yes, that's true, and others will be penalised. And overall, New Zealand will be paying more in premium because the private insurers must make a profit.
Yeah, but they've also got to compete, and people are going to be able to shop around for the lower premium.
New Zealand, the advantage of the 24/7 state monopoly insurer is that it can drive efficiency into the scheme, and it has, and premiums are low because no one has to make a profit. At the same time, it delivers entitlement and compensation to claimants. It's a balancing act. The problem with privatisation is that the private insurer will be motivated to make money. That's why they're in business.
Yeah, but part of the problem that ACC's got at the moment...
claims.
Part of the problem that ACC's got at the moment is, what was it, a $4 billion liability. And I know there's a lot of argument about full funding and everything else, but the fact is that was deemed to be beyond the bounds of what was acceptable or prudent to be carrying that kind of liability.
There is a lot of debate about fully funded. The liability was because the Honourable Nick Smick and Labor, I must say, both believe in having a fully funded scheme. If you go to pay-as-you-go, there wouldn't be such liability.
Stay with us, Hazel. Roger Bell, as we said, is Chief Executive of the insurer Vero, a major player in workplace insurance market back when it was opened for competition by the previous national government in the 90s. Roger, is your company going to be interested again? Are the insurance companies going to be interested in getting involved again in this market?
Well, I think insurers will be. It's a little early to say because in Nick Smith's announcement, which I read yesterday like anyone else, he has said that they have to do more work to ensure a level playing field between insurers and ACC. And I guess until we see the shape of that, it's hard to be definitive. But in general, insurers write this business all around the world. New Zealand is quite unique in the sense that we have the state monopoly. So in general, I think over time, insurers would welcome a chance to compete.
On the question of costs, the claim from those opposed to the changes is that a private insurer has a profit as a bottom line and that therefore levies must inevitably go up.
The only comparison we can make is in the late 90s, and the premium's roughly halved. Now, I'm certainly not predicting that again. It was an unusual time for ACC, and I think most insurers acknowledge that because of the competition that we enjoyed in that 1 year in the late 90s, ACC have publicly acknowledged it. It required them to get their act together a little more. So no insurer would be silly enough to predict major reductions in price. But as you have said, the forces of competition are extreme, and I think they will be very powerful again. And I think the difference will be, of course, instead of taxpayers' money being at risk, it'll be insurers' money at risk. Our industry, as you will know, is about to put about $2 billion of capital into Christchurch to rebuild Christchurch and Canterbury after the earthquake. So there are benefits for taxpayers in removing the risk from the taxpayer and transferring it to a company's account.
Interesting. That would be suggesting a catastrophic event might hit us all at once, surely.
No, it just means that capital has to be there to support the liabilities. All insurance companies do that. It doesn't mean a catastrophe.
An interesting thing about the $2 billion figure, because 2 years ago, the Australian investment bank Merrill Lynch issued a report saying that it believed National would privatise ACC if it came to power, and that this would give Australian insurance companies access to $2.1 billion in new premium income, boosting their after-tax earnings by $200 million. There is clearly a large profit driver in the involvement of the insurance industries and a substantial sum at stake.
Do you know what? The biggest opportunity in the late 1990s that insurers had to make money was the thing that the media and the opponents of choice have not focused on, and that is the staggering improvement in the accident rate. New Zealand has one of the highest accident rates in the workplace in the developed world. And in that 1 year, the accident rate plummeted because insurers are better at managing and reducing risk by working with employers and giving incentives to lower the risk.
You also heard, as Hazel raised, and indeed as I heard the CTU raising this morning, so also shot up the number of disputed claims.
No, that's not true, because if you think back, I mean, we never heard In the examples, there are independent mediating, mediation services, dispute resolution services. We never heard that at the time. There was no evidence of that. I have heard some opponents talk, for instance, about a reduction in cover. Now, that won't happen either because the policy conditions are determined by legislation. Insurance companies cannot write this business and reduce benefits.
How did that reduction in injuries happen then? It seems bizarre in a way, actually, that all of a sudden, because of a partially privatised insurance market, it's the workplaces are safer. I mean, what practical difference do you believe the market made other than contesting whether or not an injury happened?
Senior members of the Labor government at the time, when they nationalised it, did say to me that they were very impressed by that reduction in accidents. The best explanation I can give you is when businesses had a choice, they had a choice to remain with ACC, but they had to make that choice, and 95% of the business went to private insurers. So obviously employers weren't particularly happy with the service they were getting from ACC. Now, those employers know that insurance companies tend to reward good risks and tend to punish bad risks. And so there was an awful lot of work done, and sadly we only had 1 year because I believe our industry would have continued that good work. But in that 1 year before it was nationalised by the incoming government, those companies were told in no uncertain terms, if you have accidents, you will have to pay more. But if you work with us to reduce accident frequency and size, we will give you further savings.
Nick Smith has indicated that the rest of ACC's accident coverage may be opened up to competition. Are you confident that might happen?
Look, not confident is not the word, because the government certainly don't talk to me about that. All I know is in most parts of the world, things like motor vehicle, a third-party bodily injury insurance, is done by private insurers. I think that would be quite easy to do for our industry. So typically, if a client has their car insured with an insurance company, they would have a choice to say, oh, well, if I have an accident, I might as well have the third-party injury covered by the same provider.
Hazel, what opinions do you have on the possibility of accident coverage being opened up as well?
I think that the government will be very cautious about moving beyond the workplace into the earners account, because it's going to be very difficult to have risk rating for an individual. I mean, we're a country that wants people to take risks, and we don't have the right to sue. So it's going to be quite a difficult measure to take and will be very challenging. I think their main objective is to privatise the work account at this stage.
Could I just quickly say that Hazel's quite rightly pointed out that ACC premiums in New Zealand are some of the cheapest in the world, but that is comparing apples with oranges, because we're the only jurisdiction in the world where the public don't have common law rights. So if you look at the claims paid in Australia, for instance, and America, about half the money goes to the legal fraternity.
Yep, that's correct, and we don't want that in New Zealand.
No, we do not. I've never heard anyone argue for a change to that.
Significant and complex changes, Nick Smith is deciding this. In fact, he seems to be hedging bets and talking about consultation before finally confirming going ahead with it anyway, Roger. What is so complex about what is proposed?
I think there's one area that Nick Smith signalled in his news release, and it's a good thing to do. Last time in the late 90s, our industry, because of the way the legislation was passed, never had enough time to prepare properly. What will be different this time is, and Nick Smith has signalled it, and it's a very good thing, is we will have sophisticated billing systems with the medical providers. That was not able to be done last time, and of course now the internet makes it so much easier.
Hazel, it sounds like there is still a final debate to be had next year. Can you rally the statistics and the evidence to support the claim that this is not the way to go, or is it pretty much a done deal?
Well, my experience with the Honourable Nick Smith around the hearing loss area is it really doesn't matter if there's opposition around the hearing loss regulations. There were 20,000 claimants wrote in. Basically, all of the submissions were against the change to the regulations, and the minister and the government just ploughed on regardless. So it really, it would be a nice idea that it was based on rational debate and evidence, but I don't believe it will be based on that. I believe it will be based on interests, and it will be the interests of the privatisers that will drive this through. So, if it
is it just philosophical? I mean, why would a government shoot itself in the foot if it does, here we go, give itself an injury, if it does have a perfectly functioning scheme? Do you believe it is a philosophical thing driving this?
Yes, I think it's ideological. That what is interesting, actually, I must say, is that down in Canterbury, the insurance industry has come in for a bit of a caning. And Jerry Brownlee was reported in the press last week as saying that he's learnt a lot about the insurance sector. And he said, this is a quote, "I think all of us have a much better understanding of the limitations of insurers now." And he was calling for an inquiry into the insurance
sector. But once again, that's a singular catastrophic event.
No,
it would be the equivalent of having to call
concept.
In.
No, it's the same concept. The issues that the small businesses were raising at the meeting in Canterbury were difficulty in getting claims acceptance,
right.
Speedy resolution. That is what I am saying, is that the insurance companies, whether it's a catastrophic event or an injury in the workplace, will act the same way because their driver is the same. They want to keep claims cost to the minimum.
Yeah, which is what the country might want as well, given the amount that everyone's paying for it.
The amount that everyone's paying for it, and this is why I get confused by the questioning. The evidence is, and my colleague on the phone has told you our premium
internationally low. Yes. And you do not accept the liabilities argument because you do not believe in full funding. It does appear a clear ideological divide, doesn't it?
It does, and it's driven by interest.
All right, lovely talking to you as always. Hazel Armstrong there is a lawyer who specialises in ACC cases. I was also speaking there with Roger Bell. He's chief executive of the insurer Vero, a major player last time in the workplace insurance market, interestingly suggesting insurers might want to see the details before leaping in again.